Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Thursday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick and Chase McCabe. Show 20 from our homes coming up on...
But who's counting?
Close to a month of doing this. Wow, it's crazy.
I think today is a month.
Actually, you're right. We did start on a Thursday. You're right. This is exactly a month of doing it from our homes. Our good buddy Adam Kaplan is on the line with us, NFL insider. He does it all. He's been covering the league for a long time and does a great job doing it. Adam, how you doing?
Guys, good to talk to you. Hope you're doing well, and I hope your listeners are hanging in there. It's certainly been as different for me. I'm doing all my work from home. Now, here's my question. You guys aren't going to the studio, right? You're at your homes, correct?
Yeah, this will be a month today that we've been doing it from our homes.
Yeah, so I've done radio for SiriusXM since 2004, almost always at my home unless I had to do an event for them. But I have a home studio, so it's been fairly easy to do it. But certainly this time of year is when I'd like to be going to some pro days. I would have been to the NFL owners meetings a week ago. That obviously was canceled. They did their work virtually. There's also supposed to be another meeting in May, the post-draft meeting, the spring meeting. This one's in L.A., but that almost certainly will be canceled, and they'll just have to take care of the voting for the rule changes online. But that's certainly the kind of stuff that I missed.
Adam, we had an interesting discussion last hour about the Vice President Mike Pence and talking about maybe the future of college football moving forward and how this is going to play out. It seems like, as we sit here in mid-April, that they have no interest in playing games without fans in the stands. How do you think the NFL feels about that? How do you think the NFL is going to do
that? It's a big money loss. They're not going to want to get, for TV, they're going to do all that they can to have games. And they obviously would not want to take on the burden of not having fans there and the monetary loss. But the fact of the matter is, they're going to do all that they can to have games. They really are not willing to say that anything else but having football this season is going to happen. But no one really knows. That's the thing. It's like you're talking to GMs and personnel directors, the scouts of the last week, particularly the guys who would be in the building right now. Their focus is the draft. They also have a plan for their coaches after the draft in terms of what they can and can't do because they can't go into the buildings and have these players. You know, it's really impactful for the second-year players who they were hoping would make a big jump from one year to the next. They're going to have a plan for them. But it's all going to be virtual. No one's expecting to be in a building to have players there. And their hope is to have them in July or August, but they don't know that. And that's just the reality, that our lives and football lives have been changed.
Adam, if you were a general manager, I'm not asking you what you project he's going to get. I'm asking you what you think Clowney is worth per year. What do you think is the right number, in your opinion?
Yeah, so, and I know the Titans have interest in him. I need to bring this conversation up because it gives you kind of context. 2 weeks ago, it was very clear to me that Clowney would not get anywhere close to what would be rumored. No one knows the exact number, but the thought around the league was he wanted $20 million a year. He wasn't going to get $22 million or get what DeMarcus Lawrence of the Cowboys got because of his injury history. But the longer you wait, the lower the number gets. And I had a general manager tell me that if his team needed DN, then his team does not, but he does like Clowney. He said, look, we would offer him 2 years at $30 million, $15 million a year. He goes, that's on his injury history. That's kind of where he is. And quite frankly, if Clowney does not get a deal done by next Thursday, that number's going to drop even more. I mean, that's where it is. So there are all sorts of numbers being thrown out. You got to be careful when you put the information out that could be only coming from one team. I could just tell you that teams have a significant concern with his injury history. They know he's still a pretty young player, by the way. When he plays, he's pretty good. He had the sports muscle core injury last season, which really made him not the player that we usually see. So he at this stage of his career, he has to be realistic. In fact, if I'm Buzz Cook, his agent, I would take a one-year deal with tremendous upside to get him over $20 million. You know, you take $13 million as a base deal and per-game roster bonuses, playing time incentives, and production, get him over $20 million. That might be his best-case scenario, but there's some time here, but not a lot.
He'll have to earn it, yeah. What about Logan Ryan? We're still curious in these parts. What's the status on Logan Ryan?
Yeah, here's the thing with Logan Ryan, and teams, guys, see him as a slot corner. He's a terrific player, high character. He's at that 30-year-old mark where he's clearly not going to get a major deal, and he's another player who's not signed. There are a bunch of slot corners went off the board already. None of them are getting big-time money. He's not going to see the kind of deal, $10 million a year, that he got some years ago. It was a phenomenal deal at the time. When you look at the Titans' situation at cornerback, it's clearly one of their needs. They have two starting corners. If you want to call it Dory Jackson now a starter, you can. We know Malcolm Butler's starting. They don't have a three or a four or five. They have guys like Durden and Milton who compete for a roster spot. But that's clearly a need. And that's kind of where the league sees it. Logan Ryan's probably best off going to back to the Titans. I give John Robinson credit. He's played this the right way. You don't have to jump in immediately. You let the market set. And the market is setting for Logan Ryan. It's just not going to be quite probably what he thought at the beginning. We see this every year. The longer you wait, the less you get.
Talking to Adam Kaplan, talking some NFL here. Adam, we've checked in with you at various points of this offseason here. And the last time we talked to you, I don't think the quarterback thing had settled yet. Certainly the Derrick Henry had not. I want to start with this. Were you surprised that Derrick Henry so quickly signed the tender for the franchise tag?
No, but if you remember, I said on your show, I said, here's what's going to happen. They're going to get Tannehill or Henry sign the other guy who got the franchise tag. Well, that's exactly what happened. I tried to explain to you that the only reason why the Brady stuff was out there was because they had not started negotiating hard for Tannehill's deal, and then they did a great job of getting him back. Give Vin Marino credit, their contract negotiator. But you know what, with Henry, you know, they had made some progress, and with him, he knows he's where he wants to be. He's the foundation of their offense. It sounds strange for a running back to be that, but that's clearly what he is for them, and it all starts with him, and it works. That's why it works so well with Tannehill, because you're not going to ask him to throw the ball 35-plus times a game. I wouldn't read too much into that. He'll be a Titan not only this season, but for future seasons. They're not going to change their offense. It's just their run-based offense, and though they need more explosion on the outside, that I know is a fact.
But Adam, knowing that he wants the long-term deal, for sure, just like any running back would, do you think he hurt his leverage at all in negotiations by signing the tender rather than waiting it out and maybe using that as part of the negotiation?
No, because here's the thing. The Christian McCaffrey deal, the average per season is $16 million a year, but we don't know what the structure is. Henry, it's unlikely he's going to get a deal that even comes close to that deal, because McCaffrey, not only is he the NFL's best running back, he's the most versatile we've seen in years. That contract's going to be an outlier. And by the way, when you look at McCaffrey's deal, he did it very early. They could have, if the Panthers wanted to do it, they could have let him play out this year, the fifth-year option, two franchise tags, when he'd be 28 years old. They didn't do that. They did right by the player. It's a phenomenal deal. Now, with Henry, the concern here would be because of the type of back that he is. He's a power back. Now, I know he's been relatively healthy in his career. That's a good thing. But you worry about the big power backs of wearing down. The Titans don't really have the incentive to give him a monster deal because, yeah, he's on the tag, and yes, he signed it. They kind of know who he is and where they're going with him. The other thing is, by the way, they don't have a two and a three right now. They need to address that position in the draft and also the rest of free agency.
I think there's no question about that. One more on Henry, then I'll pass it over to Chase for some other stuff here, but you mentioned the McCaffrey thing, and I think all of us understand, especially as it's evolved, there's quite a bit of difference between how Christian McCaffrey is utilized, how Derrick Henry is utilized. But under the old-fashioned negotiating ploy of a rising tide lifts all boats, do you think Jimmy Sexton, Derrick Henry's agent, will still try to use as much as he can the contract of McCaffrey to help him in the negotiation?
Look, Jimmy's been around a long time. He's one of the best agents out there. I mean, you're going to use what are called comparables. The problem with the running back market, ever since Adrian Peterson's landmark deal, the only one that was as good, if not better, was the Todd Gurley deal. Todd Gurley deal is just remarkable. And unfortunately, because of his injury history, the Rams felt they couldn't go forward with him, and they still owe money, which is crazy. You have to be careful the kind of structure that you give Henry, because, again, the way the league looks at him is he's one of these power backs, but you get concerned in 2 or 3 years from now, like Devontae Freeman, he wears down by the age 27, 28, that he may be done. You got to be careful with that. Henry, you know, only turns 26 in July. You figure with the way that he's gone so far, he's probably got at least three really good years in him. But it's not he's not going to get a contract if he does get one that even comes close to matching McCaffrey's. They're not even remotely in the same zip code. He might wind up being number 2, 3, 4, 5 highest paid running back if he does get a deal done. But that McCaffrey one is an outlier. That one is like you can't even compare the two.
Talking to Adam Kaplan, and Adam, I think a lot of the conversation with the Titans roster, I mean, you like their starters, but it's the backups, it's the depth on this team that needs to be replenished. And one position that I'm going to continue to look at, Darren has brought this up several times, the backup quarterback. No, Ryan Tannehill has injury history. They seem to be high on Logan Woodside, who's the current backup on the roster, but do you see them addressing that position, either the draft or a free agent that's still out there?
Yeah, I would expect them. You can't go into a training camp, whenever that would be, with two quarterbacks. You need to have four. Now, if there's no preseason, it's less important, but you don't want to get a guy's get camp arm when their arm gets tired. Now, let's quickly look at the veteran list. It's not great. There are not a lot of guys out there. Told Joe Flacco wants to play again. No, you know, he's coming back from a pretty significant injury to his neck. He is willing to take a backup job. I know Philly has interest in him, and a couple others do. Blake Bortles is out there. Josh McCown had hamstring surgery. He won't be ready until June at the earliest. Mike Lennon's out there. Trevor Siemian is a pretty good backup, is out there. There's some good backups out there. I would expect them to be in the market for one of those guys. And also, there's nothing wrong with getting a developmental quarterback. You know, Ryan Tannehill is, you know, not 25. He does turn 32 in July. Great story of development. It's really remarkable at how well he's been able to rebound and give Arthur Smith and his staff credit for redeveloping this player. But, yeah, they're going to have to add some quarterbacks. It doesn't have to necessarily happen in this draft. If they're going to draft one, there's not going to be until the middle rounds at the very least. You know, Whiteside, by the way, he's got some upside. I did some work on him a couple years ago. I remember when the Bengals signed him after the draft. He's a kid who's got a little bit of juice, a little bit of energy. He's not real big. He's just over 6'1". But the problem is, this is what happens when you sign or bring these guys in. When they've never started an NFL game in the regular season, you get concerned about that. And that would be the concern right now, that they don't have experience backup.
We're always going to be talking about Corey Davis until, you know, he just really breaks out, and I just don't know if that's ever going to happen. So when you look at the receiving core as a whole with the Titans, what do you see, and do you think that it needs some work?
Yeah, they're going to do something. I can't tell you who that's going to be, but this is what I was told by a league source, that when evaluating the Titans roster, this is someone from another team, he said it's very clear they were grading the Titans through free agency, and he said, look, when you look at their receiver core, Corey Davis, you know, he's flashed earlier. His issue is against man coverage. He just doesn't beat it. He struggles against it. They do not have a field stretcher opposite A.J. Brown. Corey Davis could run for his size, but he's not a burner. A.J. Brown is a terrific football player, but he is definitely not a burner. That's why he was not a first-round pick. They're a three-receiver offense. In terms of what they'll do on nickel, obviously, is that Humphreys will come in. But they're what we call 12 personnel. They're always going to be two tight end. They love Jonnu Smith. Ferkser and Michael Pruitt are the backups. And in base, it's Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, and Humphreys comes in passing situations. They don't have a 4, 5, or 6. They like Hollister, they like Batson, but you can't depend on these guys. They need a field stretcher, and I expect that. It doesn't have to happen in the first or second round. If people are asking me about my comments on Twitter, it doesn't have to happen in the first round, but it has to happen. They need to get someone, because in this offense, it's about power running, deep passing. They just don't have that guy, and I expect them to try to get that guy in the draft or what's left in free agency.
A fun debate that we've had on this show has been ranking the coaches in the AFC South. And and right now, and it's not necessarily full body of work. It's just been, you know, what do you see right now? I had Vrabel.
Don't tell Adam anything. Just let him. This is not the general manager. It's not likability. Just their body of work as head coaches in the AFC South. How would you rank 1 through 4? Who would you have as the best coach?
Tenure, but I just based on the job they've done so far, I would go with Mike Vrabel 1, Bill O'Brien 2. Now, Bill O'Brien also has personnel control. He's the GM.
Yeah, but that's not factoring into this.
Right. I'm just going by coaching. They make the playoffs every year, but they don't go anywhere. The Titans just, you saw how close they came to getting the Super Bowl. I'm going Vrabel 1, O'Brien 2, Frank Reich 3, and Doug Marrone 4. That's just the way I see it.
Why would you take Vrabel over O'Brien?
The way that the players respond, the use of personnel, they know what they are. They play to their personality and their identity. And that it's the run game, the defense, and that's the way they're going to win. I will argue though, and we saw this against the Chiefs, when they are behind, they almost have no shot, based on the way that they run their offense. Now that's why I said they have to add speed receiver. They need what John Robinson has to do. If there's one thing he's got to get done here, they've got to figure out a way. And obviously Arthur Smith in his second full year as a coordinator will work on it. They've got to get a way when they need to have an explosive play downfield. They got to have it, and they just don't have that guy. Now, AJ Brown's terrific. I mean, he is, but he's not a speed guy. They need someone like Darius Jennings. They tried him. He's just not good enough. He's no longer there. I know fans don't look at this stuff, but people who watch grade their tape for me do, and that's people I listen to who work in the National Football League, and this is what they think. And I totally agree. I've been on board with it since this was brought up to me. I get it. But they're just built to win by the run and defense. If you guys remember, I know I came on your station, I don't know if it was your show, but I picked them to win a division, the AFC South, before the season started. The reason why I did, and you guys brought it up, they had the best 22. And that, I think that there was a lot of truth to that. I would also say they are a better coach, but that's another story for another time.
All right. Good stuff, Adam. As always, continue to be safe. Thank you, Adam. Thanks for joining us.
I feel justified.
Yeah. You guys, too. I appreciate it.
You're going to create the next segment. So thank you, Adam.
I like it. Cool.
Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Insider. Always good to catch up with him. Even though I'm going to disagree, I still love him. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Former Predators captain Shea Weber coming up at noon. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Really excited. It's been a while since we've had Shea on the show, and then our weekly chat with Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet Thursday at 1 o'clock. What do you feel justified for? I mean, what, because Adam agreed?
Because he agrees
so
with
you
me.
You feel justified, like that's it, close the book?
No.
Like that's
no,
it?
No, I don't say close the book because I actually texted with somebody that we both know last night that agrees with you.
Yeah, and I know who that is.
Yeah, I said it on the air earlier, Tim Hasselbeck.
Your BFF.
Yeah, and that's fine. He made a valid argument of bringing up that some of that early on was before that they had Deshaun Watson. He did some of this with T.J. Yates and would get to the playoffs and just get blasted because of quarterback play. I think it's a fair argument, but at the same time, I sat with you in the studio and watched them against Kansas City with Deshaun Watson, and they should have won that game. And they lost that game, number one, because they were going up against a very, very tough opponent in Kansas City. But there was some coaching malpractice by Bill O'Brien.
Hasn't been any coaching malpractice with Mike Vrabel. We've never questioned Mike Vrabel in his first two seasons as head coach.
There have certainly been some coaching malpractice by Mike Vrabel.
You think? In fact, I remember. Do you remember the conversation with Steve Lehman when he got back from, or when he was still in London? After that, the day after the Chargers game?
Yeah.
Do you remember his words about Mike Vrabel?
I don't remember exactly what he said, but that was a prime example.
I believe coaching malpractice was his exact words, and he was there covering the game.
Because he went for it there at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I agreed with that. I was okay with that decision. That was one time where I was actually on Vrabel's side. But there have definitely been some decisions where you go, what the hell are you doing? I mean, getting the punter almost killed is one of those. I put that in that category. So do I think Mike Vrabel has been perfect? Absolutely not. But I also look at what he's done postseason in 2 years, whereas Bill O'Brien, like Adam Kaplan just said, they get to the postseason and then they don't do anything. He's got 2 wins in 6 years.
Right, and you're just like, you're counting that as that's the end-all, be-all whenever he's a coach that's won 10 games and 11 games and 9 games 3 times. I mean, he's had one dud season when Deshaun Watson got hurt. He's basically a double-digit win-a-year head coach in the NFL. In the NFL.
How are the playoffs not the end-all, be-all? That's the point.
You're judging him, and if the Texans don't sit the half their roster, the Titans don't even make the playoffs if they lose that game. Yeah, they made the run? Okay, albeit. Look, I want to be crystal clear on this. This is not about me defending or liking Bill O'Brien. I don't give a damn about Bill O'Brien. In fact, he comes off as a jerk. He comes off as a guy that is completely unlikable. There's nothing about Bill O'Brien I really like. I think as a GM, he's a total failure. Total failure. But you guys started the conversation by ranking the coaches today, which was last week, their body of work today, and you had two head coaches that have been at the post for 2 seasons as a head coach, as opposed to the guy that spent the last 6 years, 4 of them, winning a division and has won 2 playoff games in the NFL and ranked them higher than him. And I don't know how you could possibly do that. No, what? And you tried, on the show that day, you tried to bring up the general manager part. That had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with the conversation. The conversation was about being a coach. And whatever you think of Bill O'Brien, which I think, quite honestly, he's a boob. But for whatever reason,
that's a good word.
They respond. I don't know how they respond. How do you explain some of those Texans teams? By the way, the Colts have been pretty good, haven't they? You know, with Andrew Luck, they've been pretty tough out. Jacksonville had a season where they won 13 games. It's not like, I know the AFC South hasn't been murderer's row, but, you know, by the way, who have the Texans been put out in the playoffs? Oh, the Patriots and the Chiefs, 2 teams that went on to win the Super Bowl. Not exactly, you know, lily pads that put them out. I mean, come on. It wasn't Cupcake City. It was the teams that went on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, how do you do that? How do you put Bill O'Brien 3rd with his body of work to this point? Put feelings aside. This is not about feelings. This is about body of work.
Yeah,
how do you do that?
And maybe I have Frank Reich too high. Okay, I will concede on that. But I also give Frank Reich some credit, especially for last year. Andrew Luck retires right before the season starts, and that's what he's dealt with. And I know they didn't make the playoffs, but you know, considering what the hand he was dealt, I thought he has done a pretty good job. Let's see what he does with Phillip Rivers. We're going to disagree on this. We're going to agree to disagree, and that's fine. I think that actually creates great radio, but I stand by what I said about Vrabel, that in a shorter amount of time, in 2 seasons, he's had 2 winning seasons, he has 2 playoff wins. You can lay out whatever scenario that happened where if the Texans don't rest players, okay, you might be right. Maybe they don't win that game and they don't make the playoffs, but the facts are they did make the playoffs, and then they went on a run. So I'm going to give him that credit. And Bill O'Brien, the body of work, quarterback, no quarterback, Patriots or no Patriots, he has 2 playoff wins in 6 seasons. You can hang division banners all you want, but you got to give me production in the playoffs, and he hasn't had it.
By the way, he's won. Winning seasons, you brought up Vrabel's winning seasons. The boob has had 5 of 6 winning seasons. Once again, the only bad season,
Darren,
was when his star quarterback went down.
Darren, you're just going to have to acknowledge that the Adam Kaplan endorsement has really buoyed Chase with this argument. I thought we had him broken down.
Well, his Tim Hasselbeck.
I thought we were breaking him down.
I know, but
I'm on your side. Oh, yeah.
I know. You're right.
I know. I've been with you from the start. I think if you take away your emotions and you take away Bill O'Brien as a general manager, then I think you got to give him some credit. I still think, you know, because he's been around longer, he's done it longer, you have to give him the nod.
Right, and we were talking about that day, which was at the end of last week. I mean, how we're not talking about 2 years from now. We're not projecting out. And 2 years from now, I'm sure our answers will be different.
I'm saying right now.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't feel like right now. It feels like you're saying, you know, you're kind of projecting out. Well, I expect it to be different a couple years from now. Yeah, that life in the NFL changes pretty rapidly. Don't forget 2 years ago, or what was it? Yeah, 2 years ago, Doug Marrone and the Jags looked pretty darn good in the AFC Championship game. How they look since.
You didn't hear me saying, you know, Doug Marrone was coach of the year either. I mean, I wasn't saying that. And I'm not saying Vrabel's coach of the year. I'm just saying with the AFC South ranking coaches, I have Mike Vrabel ahead of Bill O'Brien. That's
And I was disappointed in you today because, you know, Ryan Porth was like, oh, he's the Dusty Baker of football. And you're like, oh, that's funny, Ryan. That's a mic drop. What does that mean? That is the worst thing ever.
He said that was a mic drop.
That is so ridiculous. Just think about that Cincinnati Reds fan. This is the same guy, Ryan Porth, who just bleeds Cincinnati Reds, who was like, oh, Darren, I don't know. I mean, I know they won 97 games, but I just don't feel like he's the guy. I don't think Dusty's the guy. I don't think he can get us where we need to go. I mean, I know we just won 97 games and 90 games and 91 games since he's been the manager, but I just don't feel like he's getting us anywhere in the playoffs. Just think about that. And how's post-Cincinnati Reds seasons look like since Dusty Baker's been gone? Let's see. 76 wins, 64 wins, 68 wins, 68 wins, 67 wins, 75 wins. That's post-Dusty Baker Cincinnati Reds. And that's a mic drop?
Well, this is something that – this is an age-old argument of sports talk shows going back to as long as I've been a part of it, which goes back to the 90s, right? This was the Buffalo Bills, to a point the Braves, right? Long stretches of success in the regular season, but either zero, and in the Braves' case, one championship. And you ask, did they underachieve? But I've always felt like in this discussion, there's way too many people that undersell the accomplishment that it takes to have consistent performances year after year, especially as we've gone into a salary cap era, right? Consistent winning, even without a championship, is very, very hard to do. And so I've always gone on the side of that. That's why I voted for O'Brien in this one. And Vrabel, in a couple of years, I think if he stays consistent, he will overtake Bill O'Brien, especially if there's another good.
Well, O'Brien probably won't be here in a couple of years because the GM part of him is going to get him fired.
That could be true.
Well, and Houston hates him. The city hates him. The fan base hates him. So, yeah, I don't expect him.
They're ready.
Right. They're
He's
waiting
on the serious hot
for
seat.
One bad season to pounce. And then they'll scream. They'll drop their, you know, they'll say, we don't want our tickets anymore, and he'll be out. That's why I'm saying I'm not projecting. I'm talking about today. I'm not saying moving forward. That's who I want. I'm saying today his body work warrants him. But just think about what you
said. But you're also bringing up 4 years ago with O'Brien. That's not today.
Ryan Porth thought that was a mic drop. In three of the last 4 years, Dusty Baker was their manager. They went to the playoffs and lost in the wild card round and two divisional rounds and won 97 and 91 and 92 games. And since then, they're basically flirting with 100 losses every year. So how's life been post Dusty Baker? A bag of crap is what I was going to say. A pile of poo.
Yeah, you're going to say something else.
Yeah,
just because you're at the home studio.
You see how silly that is, Darren. Like, oh my gosh, I just don't think Dusty can get us to the promised land. And now, the last 6 years, they're out by April 16th. By today, the Reds are already eliminated.
Yeah, I don't care about Dusty Baker. I'm here to talk Bill O'Brien and Mike Vrabel. That's the conversation. That I'm having. Okay, Dusty Baker.
But you have to be consistent, don't you?
Yeah, look, sure, be consistent. Win your games.
Do you rip on Bobby Cox? Chase, do you rip on Bobby Cox because he only won one World Series with the Braves?
No, but they made deep postseason runs, did they not?
Was he underachiever?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they should have more World Series titles than they do.
Oh, it's all about the ring, right? That's what you've said. It's all about
the ring. But they got one. They got one.
Right, and they won, like, what, 19 divisions in a row?
Yeah.
Why are
there is a
going
big difference
baseball?
Between one and none. There is a big difference between one and none. I grant you that. And they did win a lot of series. And
oh,
as I always said, that's one of the things that's really rough about having three tiers of baseball playoffs. It makes it harder for the best team to win the title. If they only had to win one round to get to the World Series, that I think they probably have another title in there.
Honest.
But that they played in the era where you had to win three series.
Honest question as a sports fan. Let's just look at it like this. If your team wins every year in the regular season and they win division titles and then get knocked out first round in the playoffs, and then or your team doesn't win division titles, they have a winning record, they have 8-8, they have winning record, but they make the playoffs consistently and they go on deep runs and hey, they might even win the Super Bowl. Which one are you taking?
There's a huge difference.
You're
cherry picking on the second part, right?
Totally.
I think the more fair assessment is somebody that has a out of nowhere season and wins the whole thing, but is losing on either side over a 5, 6, 7 year run. Then I think that's the debate, really. If you're consistently in the playoffs, that's obvious, right? If you're consistently in the playoffs and you win it once, then obviously that's what you want.
Ryan Porth is weighing in.
Well, he's been it's been embarrassing for him. I mean, I don't think
he's in trouble. He knows his argument.
He's not the guy, Darren. He can't get us to the promised land.
He says life in D.C. has been pretty good post Dusty, and then just sent a picture of the Nationals holding the World Series trophy.
Yeah,
the President's trophy.
I know. 2 years of Dusty Baker in Washington. They won 95 games in 97. It was horrible on his watch, wasn't it? I mean, just horrible. It takes like two red seasons to get that many wins in one season they got in Washington. I know. If you keep this up, Chase, I'm going to put a poll out on Twitter and pose the question that you asked to Willie and I in a private text message, and I'm going to put per Chase on game and get people to weigh in on that, and it's going to be your question. I'm going to do that on Twitter.
Okay.
Remember the question you asked us?
Is this the one about collegiate sports?
Uh-huh, yeah. I'm going to put that out there and put per Chase on game, and I'm going to put that out there as a poll question. Give you
Fine.
Credit for that question.
Whatever. We're having a football debate.
Really?
You keep bringing other sports into this, and we're having a football debate. Bill O'Brien versus the Chiefs, in which I sat there with you, watched that game, because the Predators beat the Jets that day. I had just gotten back from Baltimore. Fake punt calls. Where was the Coach of the Year then?
Coach of the Year? Did I say anything about Coach of the Year?
I know. We're not. But where was the best coach in the AFC South?
Let's put it were things in question for a season and a half? Have things been questioned on the show? Like many times, like real serious discussions about him being a head coach. And then all of a sudden, he has a magical run in January and everything is forgotten. Catapult him to number one coach of the year.
I was asking about
best
O'Brien.
Coach in the NFL. It's just everything is number one. That's it. Case
no, not everything is forgotten, and I've said that. I've said that in all my arguments. Yeah, he has messed up too. I brought up this morning how he treated the media his first year as opposed to the second year. He learned that, oh, I need to have these guys and girls on my side. And so he changed his way of going about it, and I'll give him credit there. Did he make some headway this year? Sure. Did he make some bad decisions? Absolutely he did, because we started – our shows a couple of times talking about those. I'm not overlooking those, but you can also make the argument that Bill O'Brien did the same thing in a game that he had won and could have gone to the AFC Championship game, and he didn't.
Your BFF agreed with Willie and I. Case closed. That's who you think of more than anybody is Timmy. And Timmy agreed with us.
have we just heard from Timmy?
Case closed.
Or are you talking about the text I had with him last night?
Yeah. You said that he agreed with us.
He said his exact words were, I need to have Bill O'Brien higher on the list. He didn't say about having him above Vrabel, or he just said he needs to be higher on the list. Those were his words.
I'm begging you two to please stop this conversation, please. For the sake of the station, the show, just please stop saying it.
I don't know. I think people kind of like it right now.
If you're asking me who I would honestly take moving forward, it would be no doubt Vrabel and Frank Reich. I would take those two. I respect those two way more than I do Bill O'Brien, but I'm just simply trying to give the boob credit where credit is deserved to this point. No matter what I think about it, I'm putting feelings aside. I wouldn't take him at all. There's nothing about him I like other than his body of work, and that's what I thought we were discussing. I thought that was the whole premise of the conversation. But apparently not. Apparently,
well,
it's
about. You
keep
bringing up baseball.
Apparently, it's about Dusty Baker.
Well, Ryan did start that. I'll say that. You finished it. But
right,
whatever.
You laughed and you're like, oh, that's so funny, Ryan.
It was
a good
funny.
One.
I laughed. Sorry.
It's a good one. All right, we'll come back. Shea Weber, by the way, coming up at high noon. We're looking forward to that. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Captain Shea Weber coming up at noon. I saw that looks like the NBA is expected tomorrow to maybe reveal some of their plans or intentions. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I mean, that's why we talked about for weeks. Who's going to be the first to go out there and kind of put something that, hey, this is when we're looking to come back? And the PGA did that yesterday.
Yep.
MLS kind of did that yesterday as well. Both saying, hey, we're targeting mid-June. And now it looks like the NBA is expected to throw something out there tomorrow. I don't know exactly where that's going or what they have in mind. Obviously, they've been doing a lot of talking behind the scenes, and they're trying to figure out what they can do to salvage this season. So I guess we'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out. What do you guys suspect that we may hear?
Well, I think based on our discussion yesterday, the Fauci public support, the public endorsement, that the model of going into a bubble, however you want to describe it, right? We know what he was talking about. The model of taking everybody into a sparsely populated area and playing in a quarantined atmosphere could work. I think once he said that, I think a lot of leagues probably started moving forward with that plan, maybe at more an accelerated rate.
I feel like Dr. Fauci's comments could almost be taken as the green light of, oh, okay, so we have the support of, you know, one of the president's top, you know, analysts, top advisors, and Dr. Fauci. So I think that now you're going to see these leagues, and I would be curious to see when the NHL kind of comes in, because I feel like the NHL and the NBA are going, you know, they're kind of working together on this. I think now you're going to see more of a plan. I don't know exactly what that plan is, but there could be a target date. And for me, I brought this up with Ryan this morning. I like hearing a target date, even though I know that it can change. And I know for some people, they don't want to know a date because they don't want to be disappointed if it does change. But seeing June 8th for the PGA or the MLS, okay, I'm going to focus on June 8th until I'm told not to. And so I'm curious to see if it's somewhere in the ballpark of June 8th for the NBA to try and come back and do something as well. But I need it. I need to have this discussion. I need to have this hope. Because I don't want to watch Chinese baseball, and that's probably what I'm going to end up doing because it's something. So I watched
an inning this morning.
Well, I know Elijah was back there at the studio watching. Yeah, he's looking online to buy a jersey.
I watched a couple innings actually.
Where was it? Was this Taiwan? Was this Taiwan,
Taiwan
you were watching?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
The Rackets and Monkeys.
That's okay. Does China have a baseball league?
There's like four teams. It's not very big.
Right. Right. Okay, so Taiwan, Taiwanese, that's a different thing. I mean, that's a tiny island. It's a little easier, I guess, to keep track of everybody there rather than the billion people or whatever, however many live in China. So we need to make that distinction, right? Taiwan is playing, which is still, I think, something to watch for, right? I'm sure Major League Baseball is paying very close attention to some of the things they're doing there. But getting back to you know, the hockey and the basketball. If I were a commissioner of one of those leagues, and maybe it's in a group with both commissioners and the inner circle there, I'd have health officials, you know, challenging and troubleshooting and coming up with all the things that you had to think of, right? I think there's got to be weeks of that, right, as you prepare. If in your mind, okay, we feel like we can do this, how do we take that risk and minimize it as much as possible? As we start learning more, what are the things we need to think about? Because the biggest mistake would be to say, oh, Dr. Fauci said we could do it. Hey, let's go. You know, you don't want to be so rash and enthusiastic, because I know how bad everybody wants to play. And I know how much we're dying to have some games to cover here. But you have to make sure you do it right.
By the way, the announcers were in English. They were doing kind of their pregame stand-up, the announcers, the broadcast crew, with mask on. There were no fans in the stands. And it was weird. It was weird, you know, especially baseball. You can understand and appreciate the kind of the downtime. It's totally different than doing play-by-play or a broadcast booth for a hockey game or a football game or a basketball game where there's constant action. And it's weird whenever you have, you know, already the slowest of the sports to call and there's no fan interaction. It's just weird. They had a couple of cardboard cutouts behind home plate, dressed up as fans. That was kind of funny. But it was weird. And, you know, it'll be weird at first, but if this is what it's going to be moving forward for a while, you know, it'll be just like anything. It'll be weird at first, and then
beats what we're doing now.
We'll just get used to it.
Yeah. I mean, it beats nothing. If everybody's safe and they have a solid plan in place. And, you know, that's one thing we've talked about for a couple of weeks now, that there have been scenarios that have been leaked out and you can tell that they're talking. And I think it's a daily conversation. So they have something, you know, that's on paper right now that they can present or announce, which is good, but it beats not having anything. I would rather watch a sport and fans not be there and it be a little weird because we're just not used to it than have nothing at all.
By the way, all their cardboard cutout fans all had masks on.
Now, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's
like they had
funny.
like groups of four.
Even the cardboard cutouts had masks.
Yeah, even the cardboard cutouts had masks.
Could you imagine like filling the first couple rows with iPads and it just have people on Zoom calls watching? And that's how they're watching the games. You just have a bunch of faces on iPads.
Look, I mean, we can all laugh and snicker, but who knows, really, you know, to get it back, what sacrifices are we willing to make to get sports back, right? And we know there's going to be.
On some level, yeah.
Yeah,
on some level, even if it's not the level that we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what we're finding, too, is as we read this college stuff, and we talked about it in our first hour today, the college landscape, even though this whole concept of playing in front of no fans is very complicated, right? It's very detailed, and there's still a long way to go here with our sports leagues. It's complicated, but it's not nearly as complex as the NCAA trying to get back on track with the whole element of sports teams, way more teams, right, in more sports under one umbrella. Plus, you put all those teams in an atmosphere of college environments. It is so much more detailed, right, than the professional challenges here.
No doubt. Well, and you, because of what we talked about, right, and that is a factor that we really hadn't thrown out there, right, about, well, what if they are virtual again and there's nobody on campus in the fall? What does that mean? And because that is a unique dynamic of how
technically
do you,
they're in school at that point. So, I mean,
right. How do you try to, how do you explain or justify, well, nobody's on campus, you know, and nobody is going to be on campus this fall, but yet you're going to play football games and you're practicing and the football players are on campus. You know, that's a unique juggling act that I don't think anybody's prepared to do.
Yeah, these other ones almost seem easy compared to what an athletic director or a college commissioner or a college president would face, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is, I think, and then
you get to the, how about this, guys? We haven't even talked about this. What happens now to the? I mean, as move forward too. What about high school sports?
Yeah, that's
very complicated.
One.
Very complicated.
Well, yesterday, I don't know. I can only speak for Rutherford County, where we are. They officially, you know, once again, not that we didn't know this was coming. We knew this was coming, but they officially, you know, shut down the rest of this school year, which we knew was coming. We knew there was no way they were going back. But now that will raise the question, okay, what about next school season? What's going to happen?
So, okay, so clarify, has Maddox been doing, like, homeschool? Is that what you guys have essentially been
there
doing?
There have been, well, no, not, I get, are you technically, like, every day, is he being homeschooled? No, has there been stuff that he's been doing online? Yes. Has there been some activities and exercises that he has been doing? Yes, but actually, like, homeschooling, like, taking class, no, okay. That's not been going on.
And I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but
no.
Like, I'm curious of how this has kind of worked over the last month.
It was
and
pretty
so now
clear.
He's done. So yeah, now he's essentially out of school.
Did
yeah, it's very
I
difficult
didn't see this.
For,
did everybody else do that, I'm assuming? Was that for the state or was that just
well what I saw
county?
It
Who's
was
announcing?
Governor it was Governor Lee recommending that school systems be done okay. for the year, and but I think he's left it up to the individual school system.
Did Davidson County do that yet? Have they officially said it?
I have not seen that, but I do know in talking to some friends of mine who are teachers in at different levels in Davidson County, the biggest issue that you have is not everybody has the same access to the tools that you would need to have a virtual class.
Yes.
Right. So it's you want to be fair to everybody. So you can't you can't leave people behind. And so that has made it very, very tough. So I would almost
so what they
you know, without
said,
knowing for sure, I'm sure they're going the same direction.
I got it right here. Metro. This was posted today on the Metro Nashville Schools website. Metro Nashville Public Schools will be implementing a strategic framework for better serving students while facilities remain closed for the remainder of the 2019-20 school year as a result of Governor Bill Lee's announcement. So that's what it says.
Yeah, the biggest problem that they're facing is what Willie put out there. Not everybody's equipped, and so how do you overcome that if not everybody's equipped at home to handle online stuff?
Now, the challenge is for students in high school, right, that are taking AP classes, the big AP tests are coming. And so, you know, if you're a public school and your school is not in session, how do you continue to prepare for that test? That's a tough, tough thing. And or if you want to take the ACT or the SAT, you know, those are things. And so there's discussion among colleges. Should we even, you know, count the ACT or the SAT this year? You know, these are all really difficult education decisions, right? They're all, you know, coming from the domino effect of all this.
Right. I'm being told that Williamson County also officially shut down for the school year yesterday. So I'm assuming everybody will in the state. I mean, I think we all were preparing and bracing for that. I don't think anybody really thought they were going to go back for this school season. So the bigger question is going to be, okay, what about when they're set to return in August? How is that going to work?
Yeah.
So we'll come back. We'll start the third hour with former Predators captain Shea Weber. We'll do that next.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.